Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears.
Hi everybody, it's Patricia Wolby, Alchemy Therapies and My Emotional Audit. And here today I'm going to do one of my weekly updates. And today I want to do a book review. And I'm reviewing Notes on a Nervous Planet by Matt Haig. Now, Matt is he's actually an author who writes fiction. He writes children's books and he writes nonfiction. This is a nonfiction book, one of a series of two, actually. The other book he wrote was Reasons to Stay Alive, about his suicidal feelings back in his 20s. Now, I haven't read that book. I do want to. This one is a sort of follow on, basically all about anxiety and panic attacks and why you get them and what he learned in his healing journey and what he now does to kind of minimize the threat of their return. Now, given that anxiety is such a common problem, and indeed, you know, I've suffered on and off with anxiety for most of my life, certainly probably as a child, but not really realizing it. And certainly in my 30s, when I had a sort of breakdown of sorts, it's something I've really struggled with. So I was really, really excited when I came across this book. And indeed, I've enjoyed a lot of Matt Haig's fiction books. I think he's an incredible writer. He has an incredible imagination. I think anxiety, if there's an upside of anxiety, it's that we're highly sensitive people and we're likely to have great imaginations. And that's certainly the case here. Now, it's a small format book. I don't know if you can tell that. It's about 5 inches by 7, I would say. I haven't measured it, but that would be my guess. And the typeface is quite large, so it's not a massive book. I read it over the weekend. I like the way it's organised. It's both a personal history, but it's also little notes at the sides and quotes and lists of things that he's come across, as I said, in his healing journey. And one of his kind of theories here is that everything is speeding up, life is speeding up, and we are much more in danger of overload than we ever were, you know, in terms of the information we're exposed to on a daily basis, particularly via social media, which has really, really changed the baseline. And it's something I wanted to talk about actually in my own book, which I've just published, The Highly Sensitive Handbook, you know, disconnecting from all of that constant 24/7 information overload is a really vital thing. But he was just outlining some of the things that have sped up in his lifetime, which is about the same as mine. I'm a little bit older than him, but not much. Mail, you know, we can now email. We never used to be able to do that. Cars, a lot faster. News is 24/7 constantly. We used to tune into the news, you know, in my childhood, in the morning and in the evening, and that was it. And you got it via the TV. You didn't have it on the phone. You didn't have smartphones then. Other things that have increased, financial transactions. Yeah, you know, you can move money across the world almost instantaneously. World population growth. Yes, that's true. And it's causing a great deal of worry for many, many people. Is it sustainable? Deforestation, environmental degradation, all speeding up. Technological progress, you know, computing power doubles exponentially, keeps doubling in shorter and shorter time periods. Political events, everything just seems to speed up, doesn't it? I would agree with that. And the thoughts in your head, that's his final point. Yes, I would agree. As we get so acclimatized to the speeding up of everything in our environment, then I think it becomes more logical that our brains are also trying to speed up to keep, you know, track of everything that's coming in. So that is definitely something I would agree with. And that we're kind of drowning in a way. We're drowning in this kind of onslaught of media. And time kind of changes its quality when you don't have any downtime, when you don't have any off moments, and you don't have time to just do nothing. You're constantly on the go. And so he then talks about panic as a kind of overload. And he talks in detail about his own panic attacks. Now, I've only ever had one panic attack in my life, and that was in the supermarket. When I was very ill and my adrenals were very low and I was heading for chronic fatigue, but I didn't know that. I kind of just felt anxious all the time. And I remember going out with a friend and I went into a supermarket and we were in the supermarket queue trying to pay for our goods. And I suddenly started to find difficulty breathing and my heart was racing. And I had no idea what that was. I'd never been told of panic attacks. I'd never even heard of them. And he describes exactly the same thing. And funnily enough, his was not in the supermarket itself, but in a shopping mall where, you're overstimulated. That's the whole point. It's to encourage you to purchase. And so his description of that really rang bells with me because that's something I have experienced and I know how awful that is. And when you don't understand it, of course, then your thinking brain is trying to make sense of what's going on and will give you signals of, oh my God, I'm losing it. This is ridiculous, but I'm going mad. I'm losing my mind. And of course, that adds to the stress and the panic. And it can force people into hospital. There are so many people who end up in A&E with panic attack symptoms and then get told to go home because it's all in their head, quote unquote. But if somebody could explain that this was about your brain overreacting and kind of finding too many things stimulating, and that peace and nature are the things that you need to really focus on and not more scrolling on your phone or, trying to answer Twitter feeds or your Facebook feed or your Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is you're involved with. The internet has given us great things, but it's also given us a lot of more anxiety. And that's certainly something he says. It's a little poem he's written here. When anger trawls the internet looking for a hook, it's time to disconnect and go and read a book. And I think, there are a lot of online trolls. I've talked about that many times on my other channel, my crypto channel, because trolling is a place where people can now vent their anger anonymously to other people that they disagree with and cause a great deal of pain and anxiety. And that seems to be increasing because there's a lot more trauma, there's a lot more anger that's unvented. I watched Gabor Maté a couple of nights ago talking about healthy anger release, because it's about defending boundaries. But in order to have that, you have to have real social connection with someone, and you don't actually have that on social media. That's the weird thing, is you don't have eye contact, you don't have facial features, you can't tell the tone of the way the person is speaking because it's simply a message they're writing. And so we don't have that accountability anymore. So people get very upset. I do when people post horrible things without knowing me, without, being actually authentic. Sometimes they're under a pseudonym, and that's really upsetting because I'm an authentic person. Here I am talking about reality, and if you want to criticize me, fine, but I will only take heed of that if you are willingly doing what I'm doing, sticking your neck up. And you're saying, what I feel is really important, and I'm willing to share that with people. So, I loved this book in that it was easy to read. It had a lot of good advice, I think, for people who are struggling with anxiety or panic attacks from someone who's been through it. And one of the things he said here, which I totally agree with, is acceptance seems to be the key. So accepting who you are, accepting the reality of where you're living and the kind of society you're in, but most importantly, the sense of self, as being complete. So it's all about self-worth, really. Anxiety comes along when you're having sort of an internal conflict or judgment with what actually you are feeling. Anxiety is like the battle you are having with accessing your full feeling range, and there's something you're blocking, in other words. And so trying to stay open to that feeling at the same time as coping and managing your symptoms is a really, really difficult thing to do well. And that's why a lot of people turn to therapists like myself and someone to help guide them through, because it's a difficult path to follow. But just knowing what makes you worse and what makes you better and implementing that in your life. He's talking about cutting out, junk food, scrolling, having his phone by his bed, which a lot of people do. They use it as an alarm or whatever. You know, these things are emitting electrical signals. Every few seconds, they're connecting. And we are electrical beings, all right? Now, whether you believe that's woo-woo nonsense or not, I don't now. I do feel that we are bombarded with Wi-Fi and other electrical signals that we simply don't know the long-term effects of. And so I would just say, don't have it near your head, you know, in your bedroom where you're sleeping, where your brain is doing all sorts of interesting, complex clearances at night, you know, with dreams and rapid eye movement. These are all things that we don't fully understand, but we do know that electrical signals are part of what's going on, all right? So just to be on the safe side, leave your phone downstairs or outside your sleeping area. That's one of the things he's come to find really helps him, and I would agree. And, you know, doing things that you love, whether that's work or play, getting out of the cycle of checking your feeds, checking your likes, because that's an addiction like any other. And most people are addicted to their mobile phones. And you might think, well, that's a very minor addiction compared to some. But it nevertheless has social consequences. And you've all seen it. Families sitting around at a you know, restaurant or something, and everyone's looking at their phone. I've also seen school children, you know, sat in a row waiting for the bus in the morning, looking at their phones. They're not interacting with each other. And that does have psychological consequences, because we are social beings. We need social connection to feel good. It helps rebalance our nervous system, particularly the autonomic nervous system, which is not just about emotions and feelings. It's actually regulating our biology. It's regulating our heart rate, our digestion, and our sleep. And so, you know, having real social connection is really, really important. So he ends, I think, with a really, really, really lovely idea about kindness. And he talks about using kindness to kind of spring clean your life, a sort of psychological decluttering. And little kindnesses, you know, talking to people at the checkout queue, you know, helping someone if they're in difficulty, complimenting a friend or a colleague, you know, just making sure that you spread a bit of love around rather than this constant fear and anxiety that we're all exposed to. And he says not to be selfless, but because doing good things is quite healing. It is. It makes you feel good. And because kindness spring cleans the soul. And I loved that. It's right at the end of the book. And maybe this nervous planet, maybe makes this nervous planet a little less nervous. That's the final line, pretty much, towards the end of the book. And I agree very much. And I loved this. It's an easy book to read. It says it's a number one Sunday Times bestseller, and I can see why. You know, it's got a great cover. It's accessible. It's just beautifully written, because he's a really good writer. It also has some lovely comments from people like Ruby Wax and Fern Cotton, who have all written books on the subject of mental health. I've got Fern Cotton's book here, actually. Calm was the one I read. So my review of this book is well worth reading. Great also to get his fiction. Matt is just a great writer. He's got some wonderful ideas. He's very, very talented. And yeah, go for it. And if any of you are interested in dealing with your anxiety and maybe getting some group healing, I'm about to launch my emotional audit program for September. It starts on September the 21st, 2023. And I'll post links below of how to join in if you're interested in that. And if not, go well, take care, subscribe, and do comment, because I do read them all. Thank you. Bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.